You're listening to Marketplace. I'm Molly Wood in for Kai Ryssdal. In this country, education is supposed to equal employment, or at least employment opportunities. And while this can be true for individuals, education alone can't necessarily lift up an entire community. The Blackfeet Reservation in Montana is one such community. It's a place where the people who live on the reservation are increasingly going off to receive college degrees. But trying to bring their new skills home isn't easy. Sterling Holy White Mountain grew up on the Blackfeet Reservation in Browning, Montana. He wrote about this for The Atlantic. Sterling, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
So the title of your piece in The Atlantic is Blackfeet Brain Drain. What are you referring to? Tell us about that.
Well, one, I didn't choose the title. That was something that I found out, you know, in the writing process, is that like when you write for somebody like The Atlantic, you don't really have a say in the title, which, you know, was fine. But that was their interpretation of like what the heart of the article was.
Do you agree?
I do. I think for me personally, like that's what the article was about. I've been around Indian country a lot, and I know a lot of people who are from other reservations. And when I talk to them about this type of stuff, they nod their heads. Like this is something that's taking place across Indian country in the United States.
What's so interesting is that we always hear this narrative that education is the key to rebuilding communities, whether it's on reservations or even, you know, across rural America. And your pieces seems to really be saying, no, that's not enough.
It's very much like the fish in water thing, where like fish don't know they're in water because that's all they've ever been in, right? Mm-hmm. And so when you grow up in Indian country, this narrative about what education is for, that's just what you grow up with. When I was a kid, I would still hear people say it this way. And what they would say is like, you need to learn the white man's way so that you can come back and help this place, you know, exist and function in this world the way it works now. Mm. Now, that's not the narrative anymore, but that's still the subtext in a way of like, you know, of education, is that this is what you're supposed to do. But my class was one of the first classes from Browning where a lot of people went off to college. And I can hardly think of a single one that's actually back on the reservation at this point.
In your article, it seems like you're saying that one reason it doesn't work is because there's not an economic infrastructure to support these educated people who come back.
Yes. It's not that there's no white-collar jobs. Like, I had one of them. It was working at Blackfeet Community College. But there's not what you could call a white-collar economy. And I'm not sure that I've ever been to a reservation where I could say, like, this place clearly has that level of economy.
Are you living on the reservation now? I know you went off and you got all this education and you have tried valiantly to make a living on the reservation. And are you still there?
I'm in Northern California for the next 2 years because I got a Stegner Fellowship at Stanford. I'll be writing on Stanford's dollar for the next 2 years. Thank you very much, Stanford. but it's still the other part of that article that's sort of purely personal, I guess, or like not something that you could apply across the board, is that because I am, you know, unfortunately a writer of fiction, it's very hard to figure out how to do that and make money at the same time. And so even when I'm done at Stanford, because that it's not a degree and it doesn't guarantee you any sort of future employment or income, I'm still going to be in a position where like I'm not quite sure what I'm going to do when I get out.
And you feel like that support, as you've written about, might not be there?
In all likelihood, the situation I'll be going back to will be the same one that I left. I think this is one of those things, this is one of those places where I think it's very hard for, we'll say, you know, regular Americans to understand, like, not very many Americans grow up in a place where there is almost no economy to speak of. It's very difficult to understand, like, how much of your sense of how the world should be has been determined by the fact that you grew up in a place where you lived in a functional economy. Now, if you don't live in a place like that, it becomes very difficult to figure out what these larger cultural narratives are really for. When I would ask my students about, like, why do you guys want to go to school? Like, why are you getting your associate's degree? And a lot of them said, well, they want to go on and go to school somewhere else, you know, say at the University of Montana or Montana State University. And then I would say, well, what are you going to do after that? And that was the moment where they hit their wall of understanding, because there is no narrative with any kind of detail in Indian country about what you're supposed to do with that education. There's no discussion of that.
Sterling Holy White Mountain wrote about this in The Atlantic. Thanks so much for coming on, Sterling.
Yeah, thank you very much.